and welcome to another episode of the Whiskey and Watches podcast. On this week's episode, something may be coming out of the blue. And if you haven't read the title of this week's episode yet, or if you haven't been on the internet in the past few weeks, you may not know that a certain brand with a certain five-pointed crown may be coming out with a few new watches come September 1st. That's right. If you haven't guessed it already, we're talking Rolex. It's a whole episode dedicated to the crown on what they might be coming out with and what might be getting the kick come September 1st. This episode was full of predictions, full of excitement, and most importantly, full of one of the rising stars of the show, Buzz's amazing jokes. So sit back, relax, and get ready, because it's time for another episode of the Whiskey and Watches podcast.
All right, everybody. Welcome to episode 32 of the Whiskey and Watches podcast. It is August 30th. We're coming to you on a Sunday night, and we don't really know what – there's really not much to talk about, is there, guys?
I haven't heard anything on the news lately.
I'm seeing head shakes.
Yeah,
I mean, we're going to have a hard time filling the time here, I think.
I wish that a topic would just come to us out of the blue.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It would.
So for those of you who didn't read the title of this podcast, yes, a certain brand who wasn't going to be releasing something has decided they're going to release something, which is why this episode is dropping on a Monday and not a Tuesday, because it's no fun to release a prediction show probably after the release of the stuff you're predicting coming out, because we don't tend to get this out until 9:30, 10 a.m. on Tuesdays. So that all being said.
We all know that all you watch lovers out there will have your alarm set extra early just to find out what's happening.
Just to find out what. Yeah, I think the guys from Scottish Watches had it best. It was either out of stock or out of the blue, which is what all the ADs are going to say if there's a blue one. We're out of the blue. Anyway, we'll get to that here later. First, let's start out with a wrist check and a drink check. Buzzy, what have you got on and what are you drinking?
Okay, well, we'll start with the drink. I wanted to switch it up this time. My beloved Costco whiskey supply is dwindling by the episode. So I needed to keep that off to the side, you know, before I can make a run to refill. I'm having Paddy's. So delightful, smooth, mild Irish whiskey. I have absolutely zero regrets about putting it on some ice. It's easy drinker. It's inexpensive. You owe it to yourself, I think, if you're of drinking age, to purchase a bottle of Paddy's and check it out. It's an easy sipper. It really is delightful. So that's my drink for tonight. That shot. Yeah, you really should. It's very good. Very good. Reminds me, well, I mean, a lot of Irish whiskeys are this way. It's more like a Highland type Scotch, kind of the more mild taste. So, because as we were talking about literally minutes ago, we have a Rolex themed episode for you. I was going to wear my Tudor Oyster Prince, since that's my only Rolex adjacent piece. I mean, the crown has the coronet on it, for crying out loud. Instead, I teased everyone on Instagram that something big was coming to the podcast. So instead, I wore a watch that is almost a half inch larger diameter and almost twice as thick as my Oyster Prince. That is the Marathon CSAR, so CSAR, Chronograph Search and Rescue. That's a 46 millimeter diameter chrono. That's 18 millimeters thick. If you know about me at all, my collection and kind of my proclivities toward smaller watches, you'll think, Buzz, what are you doing wearing such a behemoth? Well, just in short, it's pretty sweet. I'm really impressed. I'm working on a written review for Zeitz Watches. And, but yeah, just kind of shorthand, it screams tool watch from the completely matte finish, the tritium tubes on so many of the markers and the hands. It's serious. As one of the coolest case backs, because it's just like a paragraph of data on there. So if you ever said, you know what, I really like this watch, but I wish that the watchmaker that made the watch had a cage code, right? A commercial and government entities code. So it's easier for people to acquire them through defense channels. Yeah, this is the watch for you.
So just to be clear, we got those in from Marathon. They're going to be on a future episode, which I'm really looking forward to. I think it'll be a great conversation, but, they sent us a couple of watches and I got those over the weekend and then Buzz came to pick up the chrono. Yeah. That chrono's on a rubber strap and I was wearing my Seamaster over the weekend, my Omega Seamaster 300, which isn't a big watch, but it isn't a small watch. And I had it on the bracelet. That watch on a rubber strap is heavier than my 41 millimeter Seamaster on its full steel bracelet.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a chunk, but so, it is so cool. It is like the bezel on that thing is massive and unbelievably awesome to turn. You have to, like, the screw down pushers are amazing. Like it's a watch that screams jumping out of a helicopter.
It's both tactical and tactile. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great one. It was pretty cool. We also have one of their quartz divers in as well that we'll be working up a review on that one. That one's in as well. I think that one's a fairly svelte, I think 41 millimeters
yes.
in diameter. So it's they're pretty slick. Yeah.
Also, normally I don't like larger watches on rubber, but it's a nice thick rubber strap. Has a nice vanilla scent, just like one of my daughter's like dolls that she has for some reason. So that was kind of funny, kind of complete and utter opposites, but it's a heck of a rubber strap. It wears eminently comfortably for as much watch as it is. So
it definitely doesn't wear as big as the 46. It wears smaller than I was thinking it was going to wear.
Yeah. So I'll be shaping my thoughts a little bit more, putting them down to paper, but all in all,
Spangler,
it's pretty slick.
What have you got?
And thank you to Marathon for sending it over to us.
Well, to carry off of Buzz's review also watch, yes, I am also working on a review for our website, and it's on my personal Seiko SPB 153, which I am currently wearing. I decided to wait till after the honeymoon phase, and I've had this watch for about a month now, so now I can finally dig into it and really search out the faults and what I really like in this watch more appropriately than as soon as I got it, because of course, you know, as soon as you get the watches, you want to think everything's amazing on them. I've currently got it on a Cincy Strapco SF2 style NATO strap, which I think suits the watch wonderfully. It's a light gray. I've also had it on one of their olive drab green NATOs, which also suits the watch very well. So that is what I've got on the wrist for tonight. And as for what I am drinking, the next three episodes, I think I'm gonna, you know, make the bourbon whiskey fans a little bit jealous here, because I've gotten in some a couple of pretty good bottles. But my one friend went down to the hills of Kentucky a couple weeks ago and was able to source some pretty good stuff for me. So tonight I am drinking a Henry McKenna 10-year, which for those of you that haven't heard of this whiskey before, or bourbon, I should say, it won the 2019 Bourbon or Whiskey of the Year Award at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. And yes, I did have to look that up. I did not know that offhand. For those listening, I'm not that big of a nerd. And it caused quite a stir around it because at the time it was only $35. And these days it's now $55, I believe, and you can't get it anywhere. So how the times have changed. And I've tried it for one sip and I think it's, you know, I don't have my Glen Cairn with me, so I can't properly nerd out and get the right profiles on it. But from what I'm tasting right now, it is a pretty damn good bourbon, I will be honest. I wish I could get more of it, but unfortunately you can't. Proof. It's pretty good. Bottled in bond. Yeah. Plus it has a green label, which suits my Seiko I'm wearing tonight. So I think I'm color coordinated. I think it's the first time ever one of us has color coordinated their whiskeys to their watch.
That is true. That is, I think.
I don't know. Maybe. Anything with a champagne dial in most whiskey matches up decent.
Yeah, that's true. Huh. Okay. Well, this is the first time that somebody, you know, has thought about that weird correlation. We'll go with that.
Or said it out loud.
Exactly. I don't want to take away that accomplishment from you.
I'll put it on my resume. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's what I'm drinking, and that is what I am wearing.
All right. All right. I guess that leaves it up to me to bring it home. So you're going to notice a theme to a degree. I am drinking the New Riff single barrel signature bottle from Richter and Phillips. I figured that was kind of appropriate given the discussion topic tonight, since there are our buddies, our local Rolex, one of our local Rolex ADs, but the one that we seem to know the best here in the Cincinnati area, just I guess through sheer the fact, I guess it's because I work downtown and they're downtown. So, but no, good guys there. So I'm drinking that. It's I think it's barrel strength. I'm not sure. It's pretty strong, but it's got a good flavor profile, and it's the one, of course, that won the taste contest at the Whiskey and Watches event in 2019. So drinking that, and then on the wrist I've got my Casio World Timer. No, I'm just kidding. I've got the Hulk on, like. Of course, we're talking Rolex. I'm going to be wearing the Hulk. I did put it back on the Everest rubber with the Glide Lock clasp. Just figure there's only so much time left in summer, so I gotta put it back on the rubber strap. But
for sure,
not going into the office anytime soon. So keep it dressed down. Maybe throw it back on a NATO here at some point. Just enjoying it. And I guess there's some rumors about this piece that I guess we're going to get to talk about now. So. I guess on Tuesday, I don't know what time because it'll be when we wake up, Tuesday of this week. So tomorrow, because our plan is to drop this episode on Monday, it's our plan. We'll see if we make it.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah. I forgot something. Buzzy's winking at me. Yes. Fresh form finds. You guys thought we forgot. We haven't done it in a while, but we got them.
You got to be fresh.
You got to be fresh. So Buzzy, hit us. What have you got?
All right. Well, I'm kind of pumped for this one. I spent literally minutes ahead of the episode hunting this down. So on Chrono 24 for the some, well, okay, first off, because we are doing kind of a Rolex themed episode, that narrowed it down that I wanted to find a Rolex for the fast forum find. And I've had plenty of those before, lots of Oyster Perpetuals and whatnot. So I wanted to go with something a little different. For the sum of $4,395 on Chrono 24, and this one's in the US, so you don't have to worry about any import stuff. We've got a nice Rolex Datejust 16013, the two-tone with the tapestry dial.
Ooh.
So you too can unleash your inner Patrick Bateman with this delightful archetype of 80s excess. Now, reasonable minds can disagree on whether Four or Sports is the better Huey Lewis in the News album, but it's hard to disagree with a nice Datejust like this. I mean, you are almost guaranteed to get a reservation at Dorsia with a watch like this. But seriously, don't unleash your inner Patrick Bateman. That's like really bad.
Accurate.
Yeah. It looks pretty reasonable. I would ask for some additional pictures. It's hard to tell to me whether the clasp is a little overpolished or not. There weren't a ton of tapestry dials on there. Now, whether that's just because people don't put tapestry dial in their search terms, that might be the case. But it's kind of what you would expect money-wise for one of these. And, you know, all jokes aside, I think a two-tone date just, I think that's the way to go. To me, the ones with the fluted bezels, the new ones, don't look quite right with the large loom plots. They looked a lot better with the non-loomed markers and the loom pips to the outside of those. There's just like some charm that the you know, that the ones in the 80s had that the current ones just have lost to my taste. So, yeah.
So, funny story. I don't know if I still have it, but for a time had Sports by Huey Lewis in the News on vinyl.
Nice. I love Huey Lewis in the News.
I do too, but it was an odd win. It was an odd prize from a trivia night here locally that we ended up getting. It was donated by Everybody's Records in Pleasant Ridge up in
Cincinnati. Sweet.
So I don't know if we have it or if we gave it to our friend who is both works in sports and is into Huey Lewis in the News, but we had it on vinyl for a while. I don't actually even have a record player to play it on, but like we just like, okay, this is cool, I guess. So yeah.
All right. So
the reference.
Halberstram, what's your Fast Forum find?
All right. Well, I have to say here, I think I actually do have Sports by Huey Lewis in the News on vinyl, shockingly enough. It is, I know, crazy, right? It's a fun hand-me-down from my dad, who was a big Huey Lewis in the News fan. So that's, don't worry, if you're looking for somebody on the podcast who, you know, wants to, if you want to borrow Sports, you got one now. So yeah, on vinyl, yeah, on vinyl. yes. And also, I feel like I need to point out that I feel like that was the second Dorsia reference we've had on the podcast, which... I think it's maybe a podcast first. So we're having lots of accomplishments tonight. I like the vibe of tonight. It's really going good.
Our podcast, first for this podcast or first for podcasts in general? Because I feel like
I'm going to say podcast in general.
That's pretty bold.
I'm going to go in general. Well, okay. We're a bold podcast, so I'm making the bold claims here.
Are we?
We're trying to be.
Probably not.
All right, on to the fresh warm find. Okay, well, in the spirit of Rolex and also in the spirit of predictions, I am going with a fun 1970, I want to say. Yes, indeed, a fun 1970, reference 1680 Rolex Red Sub. Now, I don't really know much about Red Subs, but I did look around the internet, and this one appeared to be the cheapest, so... it's on the Rolex forums.
Whoa, hold on, stop the presses. This isn't on eBay?
It's not. See, I suck at the forums now. Amazing. It's on the Rolex forums. It's got a great ghosted bezel. God knows if it's fake or not. I don't even know if half this watch is real. Apparently the seller says it's all, you know, up to code and he's not gonna screw you over. He's got about 11,000 posts on there, so you know, maybe pretty reliable. Well, I don't know. But yeah, the dial on this thing is stunning. Everything about it, the patina looks great. The red looks amazing on that Submariner logo. Everything about it looks pretty, pretty nice. And I would say that Rolex was maybe going to introduce some red text on their subs if they do release new subs, but we'll get into that later. But after the leaked photos that we've may or may not have seen floating around the internet, I think my prediction is probably not going to come true, but I can still hope, and maybe they pull something out that we all actually want. So yeah, and for those that are wondering and for those listening to the podcast that can't afford one of these, it's priced at a mere $15,500, which from the form finds that I've been looking through was the cheapest. So if that's a good price, let me know. If not, I don't really care. So it's out there and available if you want it. Yep, go check out the Rolex forums. That's what I got. I'm sticking to it. Spence?
So I've got, this is an interesting piece, simply because it's just really old. So this is also a Rolex. It is a 34 millimeter Oyster Perpetual, reference 6532 from, I would imagine, estimated 1943, is what the guy says in the ad. This is on the, is on watchnet.com in Southern California. You guys got like 4,800 posts. It doesn't have boxer papers, but it has all the right bracelet parts. Has enough links to fit a 7.5 inch wrist. Pretty sure, because I have it on good authority, that the dial was refinished at some point in the 77 year life, but it does have the Explorer dial with alpha hands. So 3, 6, 9, with the crown at the top, Rolex Oyster Perpetual, officially certified chronometer with the alpha hands on an Oyster bracelet. Did I say the price already? $34.95, so under $3,500 or best offer. I mean, it's an old vintage worn watch on a folded Oyster bracelet. It's in the condition you would kind of expect commensurate with that price, but mm-hmm. it's cool. I mean, it's, I gotta imagine this is I think kind of the look they were going for with the original Explorer that came out after Sir Edmund Hillary summited Everest. Probably not with a Rolex watch, though. If you actually, the guys, if shout out to our buddies over at 40 and 20, they did a fantastic episode on the watches of Everest and how Smiths and Edmund Hillary were adamant that the Smiths made it to the top. And Rolex was like, yeah, but we may have been there too, but maybe we weren't, but maybe we were. And like, they didn't just come out and say it. So they're like, if you were there, like they definitely equipped the mission. They sponsored it. They were on other explorers. Just go listen to that episode. It was because it was hysterical. They're taking it. It's like, well, if you were there, just say you were there. Yeah, but maybe we were. Maybe we weren't. We don't know. yeah.
They just pay the most.
Yeah, exactly. They just paid the most. But
they said it the loudest, right? I mean,
yeah, they said, well, but they didn't say it, though. They said inspired by and all that. They didn't say that they were there, which is interesting. But yeah, so no, I think this
it's
is
not for me to say. That's for others to say.
And it's a white dial. It's neat. It's one of those things that you don't, I mean, I don't know how often you see them, but it was kind of cool. And it was, you know, for a watch with a crown on it under $3,500 is a fairly good price, you know, kind of regardless. But anyway, mm-hmm. so that's what we got. So main topic, something's coming out of the blue it came out of the blue last week. It's going to be coming, you know, out of their website on Tuesday. So what are we thinking, guys?
Well,
bold
I
prediction.
Mean,
it's going to be a wristwatch, not a travel clock.
Oh, coming in hot.
Watch out for that collaboration, though, coming soon.
I mean, I can't take credit for that. That was – I saw somebody had made a joke about that on the – The wonderful Instagram.
Well, so it's funny because like initially when I saw the first promo little like animation they did, and it, you know, it was out of the blue. It was before they had what is clearly a no date sub loom plot coming out of it. Yeah. I was like, okay, so that looks like it could be a submarine going down. I mean, because there's definitely like a wake, or was it, maybe it's a new Yachtmaster of some sort. Maybe it's like a Yachtmaster Chrono that you know. Something crazy, like maybe it was a new Sea Dweller. Maybe they're gonna do a blue Sea Dweller because you know it was out of like deep. You know, I don't know. I thought stuff like that, but then I guess the only other thing they could be doing is maybe a no date Sea Dweller like that. But I know that kind of defeats the purpose with saturation diving, wanting to know what the day is. So I don't know. I mean,
I'm gonna go bold here, and I was thinking about this earlier before we started. You know, when Rolex first introduced the Cerachrome bezel back in the day, it came out on a precious metal sub. So, you know, and that was a date sub, which I believe it was the Bluesy, not the Bluesy, I mean the Smurf, as yes, people were calling it. So, you know, maybe, and I've seen this image floating around, I know a lot of people have seen this image floating around, maybe they're going to go a little bit, you know, quirky here, and go for the all 24 karat gold, yellow gold, no date green dialed Submariner, which I know it looks like Sonus for loops, and I think that would be a pretty big loop, because like I said, and like they've teased before, people are going to assume it's going to be something blue. But I don't know. You know, Rolex likes to screw with our minds. So you never know. You never know from that brand. Especially for the first year of a new model type watch.
Because they did that with the Daytona, too. They did the platinum ice blue dial, brown ceramic bezel Daytona. Mm-hmm. And then the next year was the white, like the white ceramic Daytona. So, like, I would be shocked if precious metal doesn't factor into the release at some level. Like, I think it's going to... I mean, I think we're all expecting a Submariner. I don't think we're expecting a new line of watches, a la the AP Code 1151. I don't think in a year where they said they were not going to release anything, then they come out and release something, and everybody's expecting the Sub to get a new movement and some changes, that they come out and release like a brand new type of watch. I don't know what they don't have covered with. Maybe it's a Skin Diver. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a Skin Diver. Because they, you know, the Submariner's got 1,000 feet, the Sea Dweller and the Deep Sea are even deeper. Maybe they got one that's got like 500 feet. Maybe that's what it. I don't know.
Push pull crown.
Yeah, push pull. that just seems really silly. Maybe it's a 36mm sub for the ladies.
Yeah.
Ooh, for the ladies.
the throwback to the old Tudor subs.
Yeah, the old Tudor, not quite mini sub, but the old Tudor. Yeah, yes, because that's what Rolex needs to do, is lean on to Tudor's heritage. yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like we do have to bring up the leaked photos that may or may not be real, and I think we should be addressing that fact. Which I feel like it'd be even more amazing, and I honestly really hope this is true, that those leaked photos were just something that somebody made just for kicks to screw with all of us. Because if you go online, you can see these photos, and they look straight out like a Rolex catalog. Same font, same like images and all that kind of stuff. And what it appears to be, at least on the one that I saw, I don't know what you guys saw, but it looks to be some type of new ceramic Kermit with the new movement. Because if you look down, it has the crown between the Swiss made at the bottom. But the shocker that I noticed was that it was going to be 41mm, which I guess with the slim down lugs would make it fit the same, but I don't really know. It's all really strange, because when you screw with those kind of proportions, I'm not a physicist or whatever, so I can figure that out. But
they didn't slim down the lugs, they just made it 41mm to look better with the same lugs.
Yes, that's if they do go to 41, I would think that they would leave the lug to lug the same, and it will be kind of a distinction without difference. Although I really do like the idea that they've pulled like all of the best like Swiss physicists, like they shut down CERN and all the Large Hadron Collider and all of that, and got them all together. Like, we need to figure out the proportions of this new slightly larger. Yeah, Submariner.
And we just figured out the reason for the coronavirus. Caused by the crown to shut down CERN to help assemble the crown's new watch. There it is, right there. Boom.
Yes.
Exactly. You don't need one of those like boards in a in a movie where someone's got like the cork board with all the pictures pinned up and the little strings, trying to solve a case. I mean, it's kind of obvious.
Yeah, it's right in the name.
I mean, we've also seen, so you mentioned the Kermit. I feel like I've seen another similar leaked image that is that, but with a blue bezel.
Yeah, I feel like I've also seen one of those floating around too.
And then it's also obviously the no date and a date version that are in black, the standard. So I think everybody's kind of expecting various colored variations of a 41mm sub with a new movement. And then, I mean, let's be real, the new movement was going to happen at some point. It's just a matter of whether they redesign the case or not, because the GMT Master 2 got the new movement with, the better power reserve and the silicon hairspring and stuff like that. So like even Tudor's in-house movement has 70 hours of power reserve and, similar anti-magnetic properties. It was only a matter of time before the movement and the sub was updated. It was just a matter of, are they going to update the movement in a completely new watch, or are they going to update it in the same case and colorways? And they're kind of, I guess, then just be a Mark One and Mark Two version.
It's funny though, Evan, you were talking, I saw that one also where, The picture was actually had someone's hand in it, like they were turning the page of a catalog. I was going to go and look at the catalog that I got to see, you know, does it match up kind of exactly with the style? Cause I don't quite remember whether, the dimensions were in that block of text, like in the one that I have.
I think they were.
Yeah, I can't remember that for sure, or whether someone was trying to be too clever by half, you know, and put it in there.
Yeah,
it's not going to be a GMT Master Coke.
I'm so sorry. You can stay on your
Much better. I can stay on my pretend waitlist for another year and not have to worry about trying to buy it too soon.
Or divorce, you know.
Those things.
Yeah.
or secret Swiss bank account, whichever one comes up first. But I'll have to say, though, I never liked the original style of a Kermit. I just despise that the bezel is a different color than the actual watch face. If you're going to do it, make it all the same color. I hate how the Kermit looks. I feel like I'm going to hate it even more in blue. And plus, I'm totally done with this whole blue fad that everyone's going through currently. So we need to get off that. So Rolex doing it does not help the whole trend for slowing down. But man, I really want it to be a full blue. That's what I would really want.
They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it, and you know why, right?
Why? Because they already have the Smurf?
They already have the Smurf, and they're good about this. So, like, the people who bought the white gold Pepsi have an Oyster bracelet. The people who bought the stainless steel Pepsi have a Jubilee, and they don't like that you can't get an Oyster that fits like an official Rolex Oyster that fits the Pepsi. They do a really good job of the people who buy their really expensive watches. There's nothing downstream. They're essentially the anti Seiko Panerai. Everybody at this point, they aren't going to release a new watch. I mean, in fairness, none of their watches are limited, but they're not going to release a stainless steel watch that looks exactly like the Smurf with an Oyster bracelet that doesn't have a polished center link and be like, oh, you could buy this one too. If they do, it's going to be a different color blue, like a darker blue. So but then it's going to look too much like the Tudor BB58 navy blue, or it's going to have a different bezel and dial cut. Like it's going to be obvious that it's not a Smurf because they don't want anybody thinking that somebody who only spent $8,500 has on a $30,000+ watch. They're going to make sure of that.
Exactly. Yeah, gotta make sure you know who the riffraff are, right?
Exactly.
It's funny. This is almost non sequitur, but they'll never do it in a billion years. But man, I think that it would be fun for someone to have a probably not toolless, but some sort of easy to do way to switch bezel inserts. I think that would be fun. You know, you could have a black dial watch. You could have obviously the black one to go with that or different colors. I've seen fixed bezel, fixed ones that like screw on, like ladies watches. But I think that would be kind of neat on a dive watch.
I think sticking to Rolex's unofficial motto of FU, fire watches, and we don't care. I think they're just going to say FU, we don't care. Buy all of the watches if you want a different bezel, because don't care.
We talked about that on what the one watch we would buy if, or like we got into that whole philosophy. It's like you used to be able to buy different bezel inserts, and like it wasn't even a part number for them back then. So like you there's no way to know when you bought this watch unless you had a picture of it on somebody's wrist. Like what the original bezel insert was. Now obviously you can because of how you know, protected these things are, or how like everything's got a part number, everything has a different, skew and everything like that. So like, or different reference number. So like you can tell now you weren't able to tell back then. It was just a GMT Master 2. They didn't assign it a color code like they do now. But I mean, so like, I guess not to belabor the point, I think we all three think it's probably a Submariner of some sort, right?
No. Here's my crazy nonsense take, because the
wild card,
the new sub that's slightly larger with a new movement, that's too safe. Are we about safety? No. I'm a risk taker. I'm not an actual risk taker. It's ridiculous. Yachtmaster 3. They're putting the sub dial type of plots on their silly, I have a yacht and I need a countdown timer complication. That's what they're doing. That way in the dark, when you never have to see it, it looks like a sub, and only during the day you'll realize, oh darn, I have a yacht timer, which means I need to count down the start of my regattas.
Well, I'll say this at least, though. Like, in fairness, a Yachtmaster 3 makes way more sense than the Speedmaster Dark Side of the Moon Alinghi that is only 50 meters water resistance for a catamaran racer.
Yes.
That's real dumb. Anyway, Yachtmaster 3 makes way more sense than a not-waterproof watch made for regatta timing. Let's be real.
It sticks with the Speedmaster heritage of being useless around water. So,
yes, very true. Very true. I mean, I think it's kind of boring to the point that, like, at this point, it's going to have to be a Submariner, I would think. It can't not be. It's not anything new. Slightly different case proportions is what it sounds like, but it could just be a Mark II. I don't know. I think the one that I really wish they would do, because I know we talked about the colors, you know, it's going to be like a new version of a Kermit, or it's going to be a new version. What do you call, like I guess the new Kermit, or I've seen some people call it a Sermit because it's Cerachrome. So a Sermit, you know, whatever. Yeah. What would you call the blue version of that?
Grover.
There we go. There we go.
I'm trying to think of my Smurf names here. Give me one hot second. The internet's gonna help me out.
I'm with Buzzy. I'm going with Grover. The Grover. You got to get that on Instagram pretty quickly so people catch on.
I would love them, actually, by the way, if it is like this fairly boring, slightly larger case, new movement thing that's very telegraphed. Just blow our minds. Go Arctic dial.
I was going to say the same thing. That was what I was going to ask for, is like, I would love for them to do a white dial with a black, like, would you be okay with that, Spangler, a white dial with a black ceramic bezel, essentially what my Seamaster looks like?
I think anything white dial from Rolex is amazing. So yes. Yeah, yes. 100%. Yep.
It would look like the Seamaster. It would also look like that Grand Seiko that our buddy Dustin has. Granted, that's a quartz movement, a 9F quartz, but like, that's a pretty slick looking dive watch.
Yeah, I mean, the Polar Explorer 2s are so sweet. Like, why not put those gorgeous Polar dials on something where the bezel goes clickety-clack, you know?
Or, you know, just reissue it in an Explorer, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'm just spitballing here. Let's go Albino Explorer. That'd be kind of cool. Not that I really would like that watch, but, like, I don't know. Maybe.
Well... Yeah, that's the mind games that you have to play with Rolex. I mean, after all, I mean, hey, do you remember it was last year, right? Where there was a release for Tudor, and the tease shot had the triangular index, and everyone's all pumped up. Oh, we're getting the Tudor sub. It's going to be sweet. There's going to be crown guards. It's going to be huge. And then boom, PO1. Congratulations. Here's this dive watch thing that's on a leather band. Enjoy yourself.
Congratulations, losers.
They showed too much of the case, though, coming out. Like, there's no way that that's their version of a PO1.
Oh, yeah. But what I'm saying is Rolex doesn't give you what you want. They don't need
to. This is fair.
Yeah. I'm ready for some type of mind game with them. I know they've got us all on the hook here for a sub, but it's going to be some type of sub, but I don't know. I think it might be something we're not expecting. At least I'm going to try and think that.
Maybe they'll just raise the prices on stainless steel subs to match the precious metals one, so they'll actually start making stainless steel again.
What if I think that the bigger mind game would be that they did a like they had multiple colors in steel, because when was like I think they've only ever really had, other than in bicolor, they've only really ever had like a green variant of just stainless steel.
Yeah,
like, just like, and by that I mean just like one color. I know that green shows up in other different watches and precious metal, but
yeah,
it's they had the sub and the Kermit. And then, you know, in the 5-digit version, now in the 6-digit version, they have the sub and the Hulk. Like, it'd be interesting if they're, and also releasing all of them at the same time, because they released the Pepsi first and then the Batman the year later. So releasing not just one, but two stainless steel watches that have a different colored bezel with a black dial in the same year would kind of be, maybe that's the crazy thing they're doing this year. Maybe it's crazy. They're going to release two new subs. Oh my goodness. Two new sub colorways. Holy cow. Here's going to be my bolder prediction. Here's my bold prediction. Uh-huh. This isn't a very bold prediction. This isn't like Buzzy. This is my hot take. The image we've seen floating around the internet was a black dial with a green bezel, and it was a sub date. Correct? That's what we have. The dial that came out of the water in their promo was clearly a no date sub. So maybe the green bezel is the new Cermet, is the replacement for the Hulk and is on the date version. And the a la Buzzy Grover, the black dial with the darker blue bezel. It's not going to be the bright blue that's on any of the other ones. It's going to be a darker blue, but not quite Tudor Navy blue. Is going to be the no date version in a different color, because the no date has always just been black. Maybe that's what it's going to be. Maybe that's the crazy thing, is it's a no date sub with color.
Yeah. I mean, that very well could be. They were so over the top obvious that it's a no date sub. So maybe that's the curveball. Or maybe
the zero color doesn't make sense.
So before we move on to what we think is going to get discontinued, in that video, I'm blanking right now, but did they show the crown side at all?
They did.
Trip they lock. Did?
Yep.
Trip lock crown. Were there crown guards on it?
Yes.
That blows my prediction out of the water. All right.
What was your prediction?
Oh, I'm going to say go back to the heydays. Give us a big crown.
Yeah, I know. They're not going to do that.
No day big crown.
The only thing I'll say, though, is they only showed us the crown side. It could be a sea dweller. It could be a no date sea dweller, which doesn't make any sense. The case profile still looked really thin. It didn't look like it was thick enough to be a sea dweller, but you never know. They didn't show us the other side.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a no date sea dweller on a Jubilee in platinum.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's what it's going to be.
Very nice. And also before we move on, I just want to clarify one of my earlier positions. I feel that the Yachtmaster 2 is absurd, but I love the fact that it exists. I have zero yachts and even fewer regattas at which to time the start of my yacht. but I'm really freaking glad that they had this little bonkers countdown timer mechanism that for some reason they figured that this was a worthwhile use of their R&D and marketing budgets. Because to me, that's the fun part about this hobby, that there's just some really crazy niche mechanical things. Yeah, I mean, who the hell needs a mechanical alarm clock that's on your wrist? But yet there's plenty of alarm. I mean, not a ton of them, but there are alarm watches. That's the fun part of it. So if they just put the sub dial on it, everybody will buy it. Yachtmaster 3, Team Yachtmaster 3.
The other thing that's cool about it too is, I mean, it uses that bezel. Like the bezel is the countdown, which is very similar to the Sky Dweller. It's the bezel.
Yeah.
Like if that's just neat. Like that's just like the fact that the bezel is operational on it, other than just like, you know, the to do this to time like hands is just cool. It's just neat.
That I adore
there. Anytime any watch company, we talked with VJ about this with Oris. Anytime a watch company can tie something into the bezel that makes the rest of it work mechanically. Freaking cool.
I adore the Sky Dweller. So cool.
It is so big. Cool. Yeah. It is bigger though.
It is
bigger. It's really big.
Yeah.
It's still sweet.
It's
I'm not disagreeing with that. It is big. Okay. No. So why don't we revive? You guys thought this was a defunct segment, but we're going to bring Denoise and bring Defunct back. It's a Defunct Design segment here on what we think Rolex is going to kill off. Because why not?
Well, I feel like we all three have different ideas for this. So I think it might actually be pretty fun here. You want me to go first?
Sure, you're talking right now. Why not?
Go for it.
I'll continue the my ramblings. Well, I've thought this for a while. There's a couple watches that are in my mind on the chopping block for Rolex current models. And I think, and this is just for my own personal taste and opinion, I think the one that I want them to discontinue and then bring back in a couple of years with a more vintage-inspired aesthetic, it's the Milgauss. I want them to nix that worthless watch out of their lineup and get it out of everybody's minds for like 2 years and then bring it back, turnable bezel, alpha hands, red text, and that beautiful lightning second hand. I think that's what we need. That's what we all want. And I think 2022, Milgauss, the return. I think that's what's going to happen. At least that's what I want to happen. Or at least just get rid of the other Milgausses because I hate those and who buys a Milgauss anyway. Sorry for anybody that bought a Milgauss. I'm not sorry, but, you know, you kind of blew it.
So, ouch. Bring in the heat. Bring in the heat.
Hey, on the Milgauss.
Okay, I've tried one on, and wears great. Look, I think they look sharp. I would never buy one new. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And even used, they're very expensive. They're too expensive for what they are, especially considering that Omega has a whole slew of completely just amagnetic movements in virtually everything that they make now.
I'm giving myself however, a flash. I'm nodding so hard.
However, I would absolutely love to see this 2022 fever dream of a new old Milgauss. That sounds awesome. Sign me up.
I'd be down.
I think that would be just freaking dope.
Yeah.
So what you guys aren't realizing is that all the mock-ups I've seen of the new Milgauss, like all the ones that are like Evan's Fever Dream, have a no-date sub kind of aesthetic to them. And actually what you guys are not realizing is that water that it's coming out of isn't the ocean. It's the water cooling from like the nuclear reactors where all the magnetism is. So it's actually it's the new blue Milgauss coming out of the blue from the water and the reactor. That's what it actually is.
Now that's a mind.
See?
A mind game that Rolex would play. I like that.
And yeah. Now we understand why they got the physicists from CERN there. Not because they have any particular expertise with styling cases, but merely so they could take their new creations back from whence they came. When they're over smashing atoms and doing all that cool physics stuff, you know, just to check it out, make sure they're not losing time or gaining.
Maybe amagnetic, not very water resistant, but you know,
they're not playing around the pool, the cooling pool.
Yeah, if you get in a cooling pool, you're in trouble. Buzzy, what do you think? What do you think they're killing off?
Yachtmaster 2 and 1. Yachtmaster 3 to rule them all. No. I'll take the technically correct answer. The old Submariner, the old reference, because they're putting the new reference up, but no, that's not actually what we mean. I think that the Air King is a pretty obvious choice. I think by now they've gotten rid of their dead stock of non-loomed Mark 1 39 millimeter Explorer 3.9 and 6s. So they've cleaned all of those out of the storeroom. So they said, all right, we don't need to make these zany things anymore. I would shed no tear. The new Air Kings. I mean, I granted, I remember you, Spence, said that in person they're actually kind of cool, but they do like less than nothing for me. So I think that would be a good one to go bye bye.
The only thing I would say about that is it has newer movement technology than some of the watches that they haven't killed off yet.
Okay, well,
that's my only thought on that is, and it's got all the fives. Hashtag all the fives.
Yeah,
they're all on.
It's
there.
An ugly watch, though.
Not disagreeing.
That's all that matters. It's so ugly. Get it out of there.
A watch that only Hans Wildorf could love.
And is.
I'm sure in like 30 years that collectors will go crazy for it, but for right now, I think it's ugly as hell.
Hashtag robot ghosts.
That's right. That's right.
No, I mean, I think I don't really have anything other than you guys. I mean, it'd be interesting if they killed off something like the James Cameron. I don't think they will.
He's the bravest pioneer.
Oh. Like, anyway. No, I mean,
this is your best episode so far.
Yeah, yeah. He's just sneaking them all in.
You win MVP of episode 32. Most valuable podcaster.
Yeah, there you
Hey-o.
Go. no, I mean, I think obviously if they bring out a new Submariner, they're going to kill off the old version. Although the only thing that I think would be interesting is, you know, they're teasing all these new steel colorways. Is there going to be like a split between the steel and the precious metal? I mean, I think that is really where you kind of have to figure out, okay, are they going to have two versions of the sub out there? You know, the current version in precious metal and the current or the new version in steel. That's very kind of anti-Rolex to be bringing out a new watch in steel first and giving the people what they want. Like, that's not what they're known for. They're not like, we talked about this. They did the Platinum Daytona with an ice blue dial and a bronze ceramic bezel. And then the next year they did the white ceramic with stainless steel. So like, I think it's interesting that they're showing, like I've seen, we've seen the pictures of, as I'd like to call it, I've seen it, the Fightin' Irish, the all right. gold with the black dial and green bezel. Version, which would be, to me, that would be the watch that they come out with a new movement first. Then we get all of our plebeian stainless steel models next year. Maybe what they'll do is they'll bring them all out. But I do think they have to kill everything off. And I think what they'll kill off in the interim, which would be very interesting, is you're going to kill off the two-tone models. I know two-tone is having a bit of a renaissance. This is my hot take, but we've seen leaked images of stainless steel. We've seen leaked images of gold. I think maybe you're going to see a blank there in the two-tone. Although I could be wrong because they did come out with the root beer in Everrose the year that they came out with the Pepsi. But there will definitely be some sort of delineation. So I think they're killing the old sub. I think they will kill it in one or the other, maybe. I think that's what they'll do, is like they'll either kill it in gold and bring out the new precious metal version, because they did. They left an older version of the Daytona out for another year until they came out with the white ceramic. So I think maybe if they kill off the sub and bring out a new one, if it's in gold, you're not getting new stainless steel subs this year. You're going to wait till next year to get a new stainless steel sub. It'd be kind of groundbreaking for them to come out with all new subs with all new movements in all of the different ways you can get it. So I think if something's going to get the axe, it's going to be the two-tone models for the time being.
And I mean, that's an interesting kind of what their phase-in approach is. Realistically, the demand for all of this stuff is so much higher than the supply is. But if they do go and change those case proportions, if it does get a little bit bigger, there's going to be a bull rush of people that want
the old one.
the old one before they quote unquote ruin it. I'm certain that that happened when they went to the maxi case on the sub, and I would absolutely see that happening.
Oh, I would almost even say our red bar group's about 50-50 on maxi case versus five digit sub. Like they, the old ones. I mean, it's all a matter of taste and whether or not you like the way it fits. So like it is what it is. And the same thing, like people are going to say, oh, I want the old one better because it's the truer size. It's always been around that size. Like, well, maybe try it on. Maybe you like the proportions better. Maybe it fits better. Maybe it looks better. Who knows? But if they do upsize it, I think you're going to have a hard time keeping anything that's 40 millimeter in the case or around. For it just really seems to not make much sense to keep tooling around for a 41 millimeter case and a 40 millimeter case in the same watch when you know you're phasing one of them out in a year. Like, so it seems like a stretch that they would do all of the colorways because they don't typically do that. But if you have a wholly new redesigned Submariner out, and I think that's what's interesting is I'm pretty sure that with the Daytona, the only thing that changed was the bezel. To a degree, I don't think they changed the case proportions on that when they came out with it. I'm not a scholar by any means, so if I am wrong, you can tell me. I don't really care that much, but it seems like the only thing that really, because they've always said the Daytona never got the maxi case treatment. The Daytona was never really upsized relative to, you know, the Explorer 2's 42 millimeters now, the Explorer 1's 39. You know, the Sea Dweller's 43, like it was the one that is still kind of pure, which is why everyone jokes, oh, that's the ladies sport. It's not, it's a 40 millimeter chronograph. It's slimmer and it wears smaller than all the new maxi case stuff. So, I mean, I don't see them putting a 40 millimeter and a 41 millimeter in the same case next to each other, especially if you have the option to buy them in bulk, especially if the cheaper one is, I don't know. It seems silly. They're going to either kill some stuff off and have very limited stock of Submariners, which they already do, but like,
I don't know. That doesn't change anything.
Yeah. No, but I would say like, it doesn't make sense for them to have gold, precious metal, two-tone. And like, I don't see how they can manufacture that much. Like they already aren't. So it's like, it's going to be, I feel like the straddle, if you will, or the collar, depending on whether, you know, whatever options you're looking at. I work in finance. So you've got the precious metal on the one end, you've got the stainless steel on the other. And I think we're going to wait a year for the two-tone models to come back out. And realistically, I don't see anybody clamoring for two-tone models. Like I really don't. Like people buy the two-tone models because they're like, well, I don't want to spend the money on the gold, or I can't afford the gold. I don't like, if I was going to buy a sub on the secondary market, it'd be as much as the two tone. I might as well just get the two tone, or I like the aesthetic of the two. Like, I don't see them doing that. So like, I feel like the two tones are the ones that are going to get killed. That's my defunct design, is two tone Submariners are going to go for a year or two until they bring them back. I mean, they're going to bring them back. It's just a matter of when.
Or hot take, no stainless steel, only two tone 41 millimeters. Continue on with the Renaissance.
But none of the mock-ups, the mock-ups have all been all one color, one way or the other. That would be out of the blue. Hey, remember all these watches that not very many people buy? That's all we're doing this year.
We're doing it. We're Rolex. You're going to buy them anyway. Screw you. Boom. I'm sure they have a bunch of gold sitting around anyway, so they need to sell it off somehow.
Anyway, that's all I got. Yeah. I'm shocked we were able to fill an hour with that, but
I think probably filled 2 hours up with it.
Well, I think the goal is, I'm hoping it won't be another hour, but I think so. If we release this on Monday, the goal is to release a reaction show on Wednesday, or Thursday, just kind of depending, you know, not to compete with all the other watch podcasts that drop on other days, but you know, it felt really silly releasing this on a Tuesday. on this Tuesday of all Tuesdays.
Yes. But the Tuesday of the year.
Yeah.
For the Watch World.
The Tuesday of the year for the Watch World. let us know what you think. Let us know if you'll be on the wait list. How many Lady Datejust have you bought this year? we'll all be waiting with bated breath. Probably not. I'll probably just check it when I wake up because, you know, it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah,
it's just another watch that I'm not going to buy.
completely yeah. academic for the buzz, man. Fire. So
same here.
Yep.
Anyway, well, we'll see what they come out with, and we'll catch everybody later this week. Have a good one.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Whiskey and Watches podcast. If you like what you hear, please take the time to rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We are enthusiasts, not experts, so don't at us. But you can find us on Instagram at whiskey.and.watches.podcast. Also, visit our website at zeitzwatches.com. Zeitz is spelled Z-E-I-T-Z.